So that's just the part of the Esther musical, and we have three of those that we do, three or four that we do each year. And this coming Christmas, I talked to two or three people that came from the Denver area, and man, you're close enough that you need to come back at Christmas. We have the Heart of Christmas. We have a special craft fair and market over in what I call the barn over here. And we have lights. It's just a spectacular experience, and you would really be blessed. So even if you aren't just in the Denver area or something, it'd be worth coming from someplace else. It's really good. So I encourage you to do that. Awesome. So like I said, I believe that God is going to speak to you and that there's going to be a breakthrough. I'm assuming that everybody who's here came here because you really are seeking to know God's direction for your life. And the good news is that God wants you to know His will for your life more than you want to know it. And it's really not hard. You know, I was outside doing some things today, and I was sitting there looking at things, and I saw these birds flying around. And I just got to thinking about, you know, they've got birds that fly thousands of miles and come back. Like Jamie and I went to San Juan Capistrano, and they have these sparrows that come back every year on the exact same day from over 2,000 miles away. And I've seen things that, you know, in Africa they have the wildebeest by the millions that migrate and do things. They have the elephants that migrate. They have just all kinds of things. Salmon that, you know, go back to where they were spawned and things like this. And they come from thousands of miles. If God has put that inside of animals, I can guarantee you every one of you have things inside of you that if you will listen to it and follow the leading of God, God has a way to lead you into His perfect will. But you aren't going to get there accidentally. It takes a commitment. First of all, you have to know what God's will for your life is before you can fulfill it. I'm going to say some things here that you would think you wouldn't have to say, but I'm not going to take anything for granted. I think I've got four times of ministering, Dwayne does, and so we're going to, for eight sessions, we're just going to be dealing with this, and we're saying some things that some of you may think are elementary, but I'm not going to take anything for granted here. But you need to know that God has a purpose for your life from the very beginning. You aren't a mistake, whether your parents knew you were coming or not. God knew you were coming. And I've got a lot of scriptures to back that up. Let me turn over here and start in Jeremiah chapter 1. So in Jeremiah chapter 1, these are some verses that the Lord used in my life back in 1973. And I mean, this rang my bell. But even before then, when I was a little kid, I believed that God had a purpose for my life. I remember as a six-year-old, laying out in the yard at night and just looking up at the stars and wondering, God, what's your purpose for my life? You know, I've always believed that there was a purpose. Now, when I was young, you know, I had my life planned pretty much through high school. And so I didn't have to pursue it and give it a lot of effort because my life was planned out. But as I got into my senior year of high school, they started having career days, and they would have people come talk about what are you going to do, and you've got to start making plans. And it revived this within me. So when I was a senior in high school, I started seriously seeking, God, what is your purpose for my life? And I remember going to my Baptist pastor and people in the Baptist church and asking them, and they didn't have a clue. They didn't know what to tell me. It was things like, you know, like, how will you know the right person to marry? Oh, you'll just have a feeling. You'll just know. It was that kind of an answer. There wasn't any specifics. And so I wasn't satisfied with that. And I remember as a senior in high school, I went out and bought the Matthew Henry commentary, 5-volume set, and read the whole thing and read the Bible during my senior year. I mean, I'd stay up until 2 or 3 o'clock every morning just reading the Bible, thinking there's got to be an answer in here somewhere. And then I went into my first year of college, and I was just getting, you know, some basic courses out of the way. And that's when the Lord spoke some things to me that was the key that opened it up. And then on March the 23rd, 1968 is when I had my encounter with the Lord. But all of this was started by just knowing that, God, you've got a purpose for my life and I don't want to miss it. What is it? That's what actually jump-started my relationship with the Lord. And I can tell you, you aren't going to accomplish very much if you don't know what God's will for your life is. It's like, you know, if you wanted to go from here to New York, you can't just go out here and take any old road. If you don't know where you're going, any old road will take you there. But if you're trying to get someplace, you have to have a plan. You have to know where you're going, and you have to have a plan. And it's my experience, and I know that Dwayne will share a lot of these same things, that even after you see what God's will for your life is, man, there's going to be obstacles. The moment you start saying, I believe God told me to do this, you just had the devil sick on you. He is going to come against you and try and stop you from accomplishing God's will. It doesn't happen automatically. It's not by fate. You are going to have to pursue the will of God in order to be able to fulfill it. Those are some big statements. And so right here in Jeremiah chapter 1, this is one of the verses that God spoke to me. And he says in verse 4, Jeremiah 1, 4, then the word of the Lord came unto me saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Boy, there's a lot in these verses. But this shows that God doesn't just, you know, you aren't just created and then you grow up and whatever your natural talents and your natural abilities are, God looks at you and thinks, oh, well, you can sing. I think I'll use you over here in this area. Oh, you're good with numbers. I'll use you in administration, management, or something. No, before he was formed in the womb, God already had a plan for his life. God isn't looking at you and just seeing what your natural talents and abilities are and thinking that I could use you over here. You don't just automatically fall into God's will. God created you with a purpose. And I could expand on that a lot, but I'm just going to use that as one witness. Look over here in Galatians chapter 1. This is the Apostle Paul speaking, and he's saying basically the same thing. In Galatians chapter 1 and in verse 15, it says, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. But notice, God didn't really get a revelation of Jesus until he was on the road to Damascus, but he said he was separated unto this from his mother's womb. You and I have a purpose that was given to us by God while you were still in your mother's womb, before you've done anything. So this says a lot of things. It says that the gifts and the callings of God aren't based on your performance. Some of you think, well, man, I've messed up so much. How could God ever use me? I'm not worthy. God had a purpose for your life planned before you were ever born. And look at this passage of Scripture over in Psalms chapter 139. In Psalms 139, he's talking about how that God knew everything about us before you were ever born. In verse 13, Psalms 139, verse 13, thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance. I'm trying to use my phone here to read the NIV, so bear with me. It says, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. That's real awkward in the King James, but listen to this in the NIV. It says, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body all the days ordained for me. Get this. All of the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God had written down what your life is intended to be before you were ever born. That is awesome. So I've given you three witnesses right here. I could give you more. John the Baptist, if you turn over to the first chapter of the book of Luke, when he was prophesied, when Gabriel prophesied to Zacharias that he would be born, he says, this is going to be, he's going to go in the spirit and the power of Elias, and he will prepare the way for the messenger, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. The point I'm making is God doesn't just look at you and let you develop on your own. And then after you've developed and after you've got this talent or this ability, God sees that and says, oh, well, I could use them over here. Before you were ever born, God had already written in His book, there is a book about your life in heaven. And He wrote in His book what your life is supposed to be. That is phenomenal. That is phenomenal that God gives that much attention to us. And yet I believe that the average person, even the average Christian, does not live with this kind of a mindset. We just kind of feel like it's up to us to do whatever, and then we ask God to bless it. When you get born again and you want God to use you, you say, oh God, I've got this business. Please anoint it and bless it. That's not the way to do it. You know, if you find out what God created you for, and if you do it, you never have to ask God's blessing. God would be unjust to lead you to do something and expect you to do it in your own strength and own power. There is a supernatural anointing that is available when you are in the center of God's will. And you don't have to ask God to bless it. You don't have to pray for God's blessing. God made you for a purpose, and He's written all of these things in His book. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but some people think, so is it just predestined? Is it fate? Is it the sovereignty of God that makes me who I am? There's a lot of people that say that, but man, I disagree with that 1,000%. If you believe that, you're going to have to credit all of the adultery, the rape, the murder, the dishonesty, all of the bad things that happen, you're going to have to say God is the source of all of that. He's not. God has a plan for your life. He's written it in His book, but you have 100% control over whether or not that plan comes to pass. God does not force it on you. And I believe that there's going to be people that have great talents and abilities that stand before God, and in the world system, they had great acclaim and they accomplish things, but when they stand before God, you know, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that when we stand before the Lord, He's going to try every man's work of what sort it is, not what size it is. There's a big difference. Most of us think that the bigger the better, but you know what? God calls some people to things that are behind the scenes, and you may never be one of those that's out there in front of the public and gets all of the acclaim. And maybe you had all kinds of trophies to your credit. You got all of this acclaim. You had all of this money. You've got all of these awards. But when you stand before God, He's going to tell you all of that stuff was wood, hay, and stubble. He's going to set a match to it, and you'll be reduced to ashes because God wanted you to do this over here. It's not a matter of what your talents and abilities and opportunities give you freedom to do. God has a purpose for your life. And the only way you're ever going to reach your full potential is to find out what God's purpose for your life is. Not do your own thing and ask God to bless it. Not do your own thing and even dedicate it to the Lord and say, God, I'm doing all of this for you. What did God write in His book for you? What is your life supposed to all be about? And again, I say that I know that most of you here are here because you're looking to find out God's destiny, God's will for your life. But many of you don't know for sure. If this is a typical group, I've ministered on this many times, and I'll ask people, how many of you don't know for sure what God has called you to do? You love God, you're hoping that what you're doing is blessing Him, and you ask God to use it, but you don't have any assurance that you're doing what God called you to do. And I'll give an invitation like that, and it's not unusual to have 80% of Spirit-filled Christians stand and say, I don't know for sure. You might be doing what God wants you to do, but it's not enough just to hope that you're doing it. You need to know, what is God's will for my life? You've only got one chance. You know, this isn't a dress rehearsal. Every day we are either accomplishing God's will or we're just burning daylight. We're wasting time. This is the real deal. And you aren't going to accomplish God's will unless you have an encounter and know what God created you for. And again, if He can show the animals things, and if they have a guidance system on the inside of them, I can guarantee you every one of us have a guidance system. And this is what I'm going to be talking about. I'm going to be sharing with you about how the Lord has led me. And I believe I am right in the exact center of God's will for my life. Just like what Dwayne was sharing tonight, standing here on this platform, we are exactly where God wants us to be. And this is not only for ministers. Amen. This isn't just for the clergy. Amen. This is for every single person. You know, there are some people that God has called you to raise a family, and you might be raising the next George Washington. Today, we put down people that stay at home and raise a family, but I guarantee you, that's a calling from God. There are some of you, I knew a guy one time that said that he was called to be a garbage collector. And some people would think, well, that's not much of a vocation. That's not shooting very high. But he says, we got to have our garbage collected. If we don't, there'd be all kinds of disease and stuff. And he says, I get to talk to people about the Lord that would never go to church. And he just felt like this is what God called him to do. He got to pray with people and minister to them. I'm telling you, God has put each one of us in a position. You know, I spend, I don't even know, but it's at least $1.5 million a month on just television airtime. And then if you count all of the salaries that it takes to support that, and then all of the materials that go out, I spend $3 or $4 million a month reaching out and trying to touch people's lives. And each one of you in here touch, I can guarantee you, most of you in here could name 20, 30, 40 people that you influence that will never hear of me. I don't care what I do, how much money I spend. You influence people that I'll never influence. You have a purpose. And it's not just to supply your needs and to live and to die and then be gone and let somebody else come take your place. No, there's a purpose for you being here. God has a plan for your life. Every one of you. Man, I was talking with Billy today, and Billy is doing things in our ministry that I can't do. And I told Billy, I said, everything that you've been through in your entire life was to prepare you to work for me. And we laugh, but I believe that. I believe it. I believe God has ordained him for such a time as this. Man, Elizabeth and Robert Murin, they've been missionaries in Israel, and they've traveled the world, and they've done all kinds of things, and God has used them in so many ways. But I believe right now they are exactly where they're supposed to be, and God has brought them here to me. And we're giving them a platform they didn't have. They're certainly helping me do things I could never do. I couldn't write a song, or I couldn't perform a musical. And yet together, each one of us, God ordained these things before the foundation of the world. This was written in Elizabeth's book. This was written in my book that we would get together. God has a plan for you. And it's incumbent upon you that you have to find out what that plan is. You know, in Ephesians chapter 5, I believe it's verse 18. I could turn over there and find it quickly, but he says, be not ignorant, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Well, that's a great one too, verse 18. It's right there. Look in verse 19 or 20. Oh, is it verse 17, 16, 15? Here it is, verse 17. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. It's a command. Don't be unwise. I would say, don't be stupid. Understand that God has a purpose for you. And did you know the first step in finding God's will is knowing that God has a specific plan for your life? And I believe that most Christians don't live with this knowledge. Again, they just think that, well, there's certain people, maybe you and Dwayne or a few people have a God-ordained will for their life, and the rest of us, we're just supposed to muddle through and do the best we can in whatever circumstances, you know, come up. If your family has a business, well, then you just inherit it and you just do whatever life presents for you. That's the way that most people live. But these verses say that God has a plan for every one of you. I believe that with all of my heart. And God's plans for you are all good. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. The NIV says a hope and a future, and that's great, but I really like that expected end. In other words, I'm not just going to go through life and hope that things work out good, hope that I don't get Alzheimer's, hope that I'm still healthy and functioning when it's my time to leave. I don't have to just hope and wonder about it. I have an expected end because I've got promises from God. And if I cooperate with God, I can say, no, I'm not going to go out with a whimper. I'm going to go out with a shout. I'm going to finish my course. I'm going to run the race. I like that expected end. God has a purpose for each one of us. And it's a good purpose. His thoughts for you are better than your thoughts for yourself. I can promise you this, that if you aren't excited when you get up, if you aren't thinking like, oh God, this is awesome. Thank you, Father, for all the good things. Man, I spent so much time today just thanking God just for a beautiful day and for all of these things and for a conference where we're going to get to share these truths that have revolutionized our life. And I was thinking about how this is going to impact you. And I was just praising God today. I was excited. If you don't have that kind of an anticipation about your day, if you wake up and it's Blue Monday because you got to go to work, you have missed God's will. And if you go TGIF, you've missed God's will. I was walking through our break area one day and a young kid, he was only 18 years old, he came walking in during lunch and he just goes, TGIF. First time I'd ever heard it. This is like 20 years ago. And I said, what does TGIF mean? He says, thank God it's Friday. And I said, what's so great about Friday? And he says, it's the last day of the work week. Tomorrow I'm off. And I said, do you not like working here? And he goes, oh no, that's not what I'm saying. I said, I can fix it so you'll never have to work here again. I said, man, you ought to praise God. I said, there's 100 people that would like to have your job. And he started backpedaling and saying, oh, I love my job. And I said, well, then why are you going TGIF? My point is that, see, there are many of you that you do something to make a living, but you don't enjoy it. You don't feel like you're called to do it. You are doing what you've got to do. It's drudgery. You can't wait until the work week is over so you can get off and be on your own. If that's your attitude, you've missed God. I'm telling you, when you find the will of God, it's exciting. I'm not saying that there's not hardship and days that you have to work through some things, but when you are in the center of God's will, there is a supernatural satisfaction and peace that you have that you don't have when you are just doing your own thing and asking God to bless it. You know, there was an instance where I went to Charlotte, North Carolina, and I had a partner there that owned a business. And every year he would have me come in and speak to his employees and tell them the clock is running. You listen to this guy talk as long as he wants to. And then after I got through talking, I'd go into the break room and he would pay his employees to come back and I'd pray with them and minister to them. And anyway, one year I spoke to all of the employees, and when I came out after speaking to them, there was an Oriental lady that was at the reception desk, and she wasn't back there with the rest of the employees. And so I stopped to talk to her, and I said, "Who are you?" And she told me your name, and she says, "I'm the new person here." And so they put me answering the phones while everybody was in the back. She says, "What were they doing back there?" And I said, "I was talking to them. I said, I was ministering to them." She says, "Well, who are you?" And I told her my name. She says, "What do you do?" And I said, "I'm a minister." And she goes, "For who?" And I said, "For the Lord Jesus Christ." And this woman got so excited, she said, "You're the one." And I said, "The one what?" And she told me that she was a Buddhist and that the previous night she'd been going through all of her rituals. And right in the midst of it, she just stopped and she says, "This can't be it." And she says, "God, I know that you exist. I know that there's a God, but I can't believe that this is it. Who are you?" And she says, "Show me who you are." And she said this ball of light came in front of her and it was pulsating, and she heard an audible voice saying, "Tomorrow I'll send you a man who'll tell you who I am." And she says, "You're the one." And I said, "I am the one." And man, I got to lead this woman to the Lord. She got baptized in the Holy Ghost and it was just glorious. But you know, the best part of the whole thing is when I got out to my car, I couldn't even drive. I sat there in the hot North Carolina sun in a hot car, just praising God, thinking, "God, I was in the right place at the right time. You knew I was going to be here." And there was such a satisfaction and a joy and a peace that is awesome. And there are some of you that are born again and you love God, but you've never experienced that because you aren't where you're supposed to be. Did you know one of the ways that God leads you is to give you a holy dissatisfaction? There are some of you that aren't satisfied and you are going, "Oh no, Blue Monday," and then you're going, "TGIF." And did you know it's God that's giving you those feelings because He doesn't want you doing what you're doing. There is a holy dissatisfaction. Now don't misunderstand what I'm saying. There can be an ungodly dissatisfaction that you need to deal with and keep your mind on the Lord and use your faith. But there's some of you that are using your faith and trying to believe and trying to rejoice. And one of the reasons that you don't rejoice is because you aren't where God wants you to be. And there isn't going to be that supernatural witness. The Holy Spirit's not going to be bearing witness with what you're doing because you're doing stuff that God doesn't want you to do. And some of you are thinking, "But I've got to work. I've got to do this. What else am I going to do?" You know, I had a woman come to me not too long ago and they were talking about these vaccines, and she's a nurse. And she says, they're going to fire me if I don't take this vaccine. And I said, "Well, do you want to take the vaccine?" She says, "No, I'm not against people. If you want to take it, that's your own business if you want to destroy yourself." But I'm not against people taking a vaccine. But anyway, I said, "Do you want it?" And she says, "No." And I said, "Well, then don't take it." And she says, "But they'll fire me." You know, this is something that I just do not do. I don't decide what God's will for my life is based on what the outcome of a decision might be. That is bondage. If God told me, and I'm not just saying this either, I can prove it with my life already, but if God told me to do something, I'll do it. And if it hair lips every devil, if it caused me to get our ministry shut down, if it sends me to jail, they threatened me with going to jail twice last year, and I kept doing what God told me to do. I don't determine what God's will is based on, "But if I do this, what about this?" You got to get rid of that. If you lose your job, God will give you a promotion. It's like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Man, if they would have said, "But if we don't bow down, we're going to die," that couldn't be God's will. No, they said, "Look, we aren't even careful to answer you in this matter." They said, "Our God's able to deliver us, but even if He doesn't, we aren't going to serve your God." And they said, "We don't know for sure that He's going to deliver us, but even if He doesn't, we still won't serve your God." You've got to make a decision based on what is God's will for your life, not what is convenient. And I'm saying this in love, brothers and sisters, but there are some of you here that honestly, you're so scared, you're so insecure, and I'm not saying this to be mean, but you are insecure and you feel like, but I've got to have a job. I've got to do this. I can't just go do what I really feel in my heart. I can't follow my dreams. I've got to do these things. Again, there's wisdom to be used, but there are many of you that if I was to say, do you have some dream in your heart that you aren't pursuing, something that you would love to do, but you just feel like you can't do it, either because you don't have the money to do it, you don't have the talent to do it, you don't have the expertise, maybe you failed or whatever, but there are many of you in here that have a dream in your heart that you aren't following. And if I was just to say, look, if money wasn't an issue, if security wasn't an issue, if the acceptance or rejection of people wasn't an issue, what would you do if you had no restraints, no limits? Would you be doing what you're doing right now? And again, this is probably not the typical group because you came here to a destiny conference. But on the average Christian, I would say probably the majority of Christians would say, nope, there's things in my heart that I'm not doing. And that is no way to live. Again, you're burning daylight. You hadn't got any time to waste. You know, I've got things that God has shown me that I'm supposed to do, but I'm moving in that direction and it's a process. I can say today that I haven't arrived, but I've left, and I'm on the path that God has for my life, and I know I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. Now, I'm not where I'm going to be. I'm still growing. I can't say that I've got everything that God has put in my heart done, but I'm in the process of doing it. And so I can understand that. None of us have arrived yet, but there are people that you know that there's something more. I believe that many of you are here because you know that there's got to be more than what you're experiencing. You aren't satisfied. There is a holy dissatisfaction. And yet, just year after year after year after year, you keep doing what you have to do to just survive and get by, and you aren't following what the dream in your heart is. I had a woman come to me, second year student, and this has been a number of years back, but she says, I came to Bible college to learn what God's will for my life is. And she says, I'm about to graduate next month and I still don't know. And she was really perplexed. And she says, what do I do? And so I just sat her down and I said, and I did some of the same things I've just said to you. I said, if money wasn't an issue, if talent wasn't an issue, if you know, just remove everything that you can think of. What do you want to do? And she says, I want to minister the gospel to people. And so then I started asking her, I said, do you see yourself doing it in the United States or overseas? And she says, oh, overseas. I don't want to minister to people who've already heard this. I want to go where nobody else has ever heard the gospel. That's exactly what Paul said. He wanted to preach where the name of Christ had not been named. And I said, do you see yourself standing behind a pulpit? And she says, no, I'm not really the lead person. She says, I'd really like to minister to kids. And I said, do you have any idea what kind of country? And she says, well, I've always dreamed of just a sea of black faces. She was a white woman. And I just really have a desire to minister to, Africans. And anyway, by the time I got to asking her questions, she knew she was going to be a missionary ministering to kids in a foreign land. And I even asked her what country, and she thought it was, and she named the country. And I mean, she had nearly everything. She had more direction than most people do. But see, she just, well, I just wasn't sure that that was God. Well, sure, it's the devil that's going to make you want to give up your life and go minister and tell people about the Lord and put your life on the line. That sounds like the devil, doesn't it? But see, she just wasn't sure. And there are many of you that you have dreams in your heart. What you're doing isn't satisfying you. You don't have that same sense of destiny like I had after I had that woman say, you're the one. You've never had that. You hope God is using you. You hope what you're doing is good, but you don't have any absolute assurance. You know, it's possible that you have stumbled into God's will for your life. And you may be exactly where God wants you to be, but you need to know it and not just assume and not just hope that what you're doing is God's will. Again, I go back to Ephesians 5:17. Don't be ignorant, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Understand. Have a revelation of it. I believe that this conference is going to speak to you and we're going to help you. Many of you are going to know what God's will for your life is through this conference. But like I said, others, you may not have it all figured out, but you're going to get keys that if you will implement these things, God is going to start revealing Himself. And I want you to know that God wants you to know His will for your life more than you want to know it. I believe that with all of my heart. Again, God has written this in His book. He has been doing everything He can to bring you to this place. I believe that God has inspired many of you to come here. God's provided supernaturally for you to come here because He wants you to find out. Each one of us, I tell you, we're going to have to get beyond waiting on the minister to do all of the work of the Lord. This thing where we have clergy, professional Christians, that we're depending on to do the work of the ministry, that hasn't worked very well. We need the body of Christ functioning. We need custodians. We need garbage collectors. We need doctors and lawyers and all of these things. Man, Richard Harris, our chief counsel here on staff, he said, you know how a lawyer sleeps? He lies on one side and turns over and lies on the other side. But we need godly lawyers. We need lawyers that'll stand and do things the right way. We need people that are in entertainment, doing what Elizabeth and Robert and all of these people, Matt is a part of all of that. We need people doing that. We need April and Colin Carr that, man, just doing a great job in real estate and hundreds of people that they're touching and God is blessing them. Did you know that there are some people that you have a gift of giving? Romans chapter 12 talks about that. And that is your supernatural gift. You are anointed by God to make money to finance the gospel. And there's some of you, that is the call on your life. And yet there's a lot of people that have never seen this. Out of Romans chapter 12, it talks about those that have the gift of giving. And because of it, they make all of this money and use it on themselves. Get a bigger house, a bigger car. I mean, eventually you need to reach a place to where how big of a bed do you have to sleep in? How many beds do you have to sleep at night? How big does your bathroom have to be or your toilet, as Mark would say? How many of those do you need to be able to take care of business? I mean, sooner or later, you just need to get to a place to where you're content and then you recognize that there is an anointing on you to make money and you are going to use it to funnel money into the gospel. There's some of you that are anointed to do that. Another gift over in Romans chapter 12 is a gift of exhortation. Did you know that there are some people that are just people that they're encouragers? They just make you feel good. There's some people that when they walk in the room, the whole room lights up. They just are, everybody likes to be around them. And did you know that in most churches, if a person is down, they expect the pastor to go over there and cheer them up and to deal with it. But there are some people in the church that this is their gift of encouragement. And you may not even recognize that as a gift, but that's what God has anointed you to do. That is an awesome gift to be able to encourage others. There's others that have a gift of mercy to show mercy, which isn't my dominant gift. And we all have our own place. Every one of you, it says in Ephesians chapter 4 that every joint compacted together supplies unto the edifying of itself in love. Every one of you, there isn't a throwaway. There's not a single one of you that is unimportant. God has a function for you. You know, I was talking to some of the people in our phone center today, and I was talking to one lady, Anita, and she's in our partner relations. And she just loves what she's doing. I mean, this woman, she's hugged me today and said, "Thank you so much for letting me do this." And I said, "I'm the one who needs to thank you for helping me minister to our partners." And she says, "Oh no, I love this." And she reminded me of, I don't know, 10 years ago, the first time she ever met me, she says, "Someday I'm going to work for you. I don't care if I have to clean the toilets. I'm going to be working for you." And she's one of our top givers. And yet she works for, I don't know what it is, $12, $13, $14 an hour. She's got plenty of money. She's not doing it for the money. This is her calling. She calls hundreds and hundreds, thousands of people and just thanks them for being a partner and ministers to them. Did you know that that's important? That's a calling. That's an anointing, an exhorter. Brothers and sisters, every one of you have something special to do. And I believe that the average person is shooting at nothing and hitting it every time. I know that what I'm saying could be upsetting some of you and bothering you, but you know, sometimes you got to terrify a person before you can edify them. Sometimes you got to show a person what the problem is so that they'll get sick and tired of being sick and tired and get to where there's got to be something more to life than what I'm doing. I tell you, God's got a great purpose for every one of you, every one of you. And I know that there's some of you that don't value yourself very highly. We were singing that song tonight about, "I know who I am." And these are some of the things that are really strong in Dwayne and me. He says he's probably going to be talking about some of the identity issues. But man, if you're a brand new person, you've got Christ living on the inside of you, and every one of you have something that is supernaturally important to do. You've got something that could change another person's life. And if you don't live up to your full potential, there's going to be people that'll die not receiving their miracle because you are the container of that miracle. There may be people in your family, maybe in your church, in your neighborhood, in the place where you work, but there are people God has positioned you. Whether you're a man or a woman, you can't change that. God made you that way. Amen. Regardless of what you feel like, you are the way your plumbing is. Amen. And God, whether you're male or female, whether you're black or white or Hispanic or Asian or whatever you are, God ordained this. There is something written about you that He has for you to accomplish. You aren't a mistake. You don't need to want to be somebody else. You need to be who God called you to be. And where you came from, your background, just on and on and on it goes. Everything about you before you were even born was written in His book. And it's our responsibility to find out what that will is. So tomorrow I'm going to start sharing with you about how to discover that will. I mean, this is what drew me to the Lord. I was born again when I was 8 years old, but when I was 18 is when I was really seeking about God. I'm reaching a place in my life. I've got to start making decisions. I want to make the decisions and move in the direction that you want me to go. And He showed up big time. And He showed me what He wanted me to do. And again, I didn't step into it immediately. I knew immediately that I was going to be some type of a ministry, but I remember the day after God touched my life, I got up and said, "I don't know if I'll be changing diapers in the nursery the rest of my life or cleaning the toilets or whatever." But I said, "Whatever I'm doing it 100% for God." I immediately began to start getting direction. And within a couple of years, I knew that God had called me into the ministry and called me to teach the Word. And I just kept taking those steps and God has led me. And today we're seeing awesome things happen. But it all began wanting to know what God's will for my life was. I can promise you, you aren't going to fulfill it accidentally. It's not going to come by fate. You have to pursue it. You have to have a vision. It may not be a clear vision. You may not know all of the details, but you have to have some parameters and know what God has called you to do and start moving in that direction or you'll never get there. It doesn't happen automatically. You can't just let your life go. I'd say that most people, most Christians, they're kind of like a pinball that you just pull back that lever and you launch the ball and it goes and it just bounces from thing to thing and whatever. And this job didn't work, so this one works. And that marriage didn't work, so you go over here and you're just bouncing around in life. Circumstances, you know, just knock you around until you eventually exit and go down the hole. I heard a man say, one of these motivational speakers, he says, if you want to go to the place on the earth that has the most potential, go to a graveyard. Did I steal your thunder? I'm sorry. Well, it's fine. We'll say the same things over and over. Who was that? You probably know who that was. Who? I don't know who it was. But anyway, he says, if you want to find the place that has the most potential, go to a graveyard, because most people died with the full potential still on the inside of them. Man, when I get through with my life, I want to say with the Apostle Paul that I've run my race and I've finished my course. I've done what God called me to do. I don't want any gas left in my tank. I want to use up everything that God has given me. I want to accomplish God's will so that when I stand before Him, He says, well done, instead of, well, you're done. Amen. I want God to be pleased with me. God's got a purpose. You know, I can look at my life, and again, I believe that I'm still in process, but I'm where I'm supposed to be today, and I can look at thousands and thousands of people's lives that have been changed. And if I hadn't have been doing what God called me, maybe God could have raised up somebody else, but I don't want anybody else doing what God called me to do. There are lives that are changed. There are people that are alive. There are marriages that are together. There's people that have been healed. There's people that are having joy and peace and success because of me doing what God called me to do. And you may not stand behind a pulpit. I very seldom stand behind a pulpit. But you have a realm of influence, and I guarantee you there's going to be people that are going to miss what God has for them if you don't find what God's purpose for your life was. And someday you'll be standing before the Lord, and He's not going to look at what you did necessarily. He's going to look at what He chose you to do, what His ordained plan for your life is. And you may be a great success by human standards, but if you didn't do what God called you to do, if you didn't fill that gap, you're going to stand before God and there's going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And God's going to wipe all tears from your eyes. There's no bad way to get into heaven, but there's some that are better than others and just barely sneaking in and stuff. Man, you need to come in. You need to cross the finish line rejoicing. If you aren't living on the edge, you're taking up too much space. You need to start believing God for something. And I'm telling you, God's got a great plan for every one of you. I've said that multiple times, but I'm just trying to get this across because the average person does not have this mindset. If I could talk to every one of you individually, I can guarantee, I wouldn't be surprised if there's not over 50% of the people in here who just feel kind of like you're a placeholder. You're a throwaway. You're going to help somebody else do something. But you don't really feel a sense of destiny. You don't feel that God's got a specific purpose for your life. And I'm telling you, you're missing it. I'm doing everything I can to tell you that God loves you. He loves you more than you could ever understand. He has equipped you to be awesome. You may never be recognized by people in this world, but and God knows. There's going to be some little ladies, little old ladies that never did anything of note. They weren't on the magazine covers, but they did what God told them to do, and they prayed for their family, and they worked in their church, and they did things and helped people. And man, they're going to shine like the sun. And then there's going to be some people that were on television and had all of the acclaim, and they're going to be embarrassed standing before God because they didn't build God's kingdom, they built their kingdom. Doesn't matter what size it is, it's the sort. It's whether or not you're doing what God called you to do. And I'm telling you, every one of you need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are where God called you to be. God's got a purpose for your life. Amen?
Amen.
So let me ask this. I want to ask you, and I know that in a way some of you won't want to respond to this because we don't like to identify that we have any problems in our life. But you're here at a destiny conference. The whole purpose of this is to help you find your destiny. And there has to be a beginning place. And I just want to ask, if you don't know for certain what God's will is, and again, you may not have seen the full thing, but you know you've got direction right now. You've got God giving you direction and you're moving in the right direction. You may not have arrived, but you've left. If you don't know that for sure, and you can't say, I am certain that I am on the path and in the way and headed towards fulfilling God's will for my life, I want to ask you to stand and I want to pray for you and just dedicate this time, this conference, that He will reveal that to you and you will know beyond a shadow of a doubt. So again, I don't want every person standing up, just those who say that you don't know. And again, you may not know all of the details, but you know right now you're where God wants you to be. You know, if you understood what I said properly, and if you've responded to this right here ought to answer a lot of questions. How in the world can you fulfill God's will if you don't know for sure? How could you have that joy and satisfaction that comes of knowing I'm right where God wants me to be? You don't need to look any further than what we're dealing with right here to find out why there's a lot of things that aren't working in your life. And as we go through this conference, not only satisfaction and things like that, but there is an anointing, there is a supernatural enabling when you are in the center of God's will. Things will work supernaturally beyond human ability. And some of you are giving it everything you've got and it's not working because it's not what God called you to do. So I'm going to pray for you, and I believe that God is going to reveal Himself to you during this conference. I want you to believe that with me. I want you to enter into agreement. And remember, He wants to reveal this to you. So it's not God who's holding out. It's always us who are failing to understand and hear. So as we open up our hearts and pray, I believe God is going to move in your life supernaturally. You're going to leave this place with the keys that you need in order to see God's will fulfilled in your life. So Father, I thank You for all of these who've stood. Father, thank You so much for bringing them here to this place. We believe that You ordained this, that Father, You brought people here, that this is not just accidental, but that we have heard from You, that You've brought us here. And I thank You for Dwayne and what You've done in his life, what You've done in my life. I believe that You are anointing us, that You will just draw out of us everything that You've put in us to help people to discover Your destiny for their life. And so, Father, tonight these people have stood saying they don't know for sure. They may have some idea, but they want to know for sure. They want to be able to say, I know that I am where I'm supposed to be. And Father, we ask You to reveal that to us. We believe that You have written in Your book exactly what our life is supposed to be like. And Father, we ask that You'd reveal that to us and show us what it is that You want us to do. And so we pray according to Your will. You said that if we ask anything according to Your will, we know that You hear us. And if we know that You hear us, then we know that we have the petitions that we've desired of You. Father, we believe that we receive. And we believe that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us and revealing things. Thank You that before we leave this conference, Father, we are going to get answers that will unlock all of these things. You know, the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to me right now that there are some of you standing who you haven't been confident and you haven't been able to say, I know I'm doing what God called me to do. But there are some of you standing that have dreams in your heart that you have tried to push to the side and get away from, and yet they just continually keep coming back. And when I said if you could remove all restrictions, money, criticism of people, talents, abilities, all kinds of things, you know exactly what you'd do. God has already spoken to some of you and you just haven't embraced it. And there's some people standing right here that you already know in your heart what God's will is. You just need to get rid of the fear and you need to be willing to step out and begin to move in that direction. Thank you, Jesus. There's also some people in here, the Lord spoke to me right now, that there's some people in here that you are called to the ministry. Not everybody's called to the ministry, but there are some of you that are called to the ministry and yet you haven't done it because you just don't feel qualified. Some of you may have messed up. You may have some things in your past that you think, how could God use me? I'm saying this by the Spirit of the Lord, that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. Romans 11:29. If God ever called you, He has not changed His mind. You may have messed things up. You may have made it difficult, but I can guarantee you, God is better than any GPS system. And if you make a wrong turn, He can get you back on track. He can plot a new course. So there's somebody in here that you know you've been called to the ministry, and yet for whatever reason you haven't been doing it. God is speaking through me right now and telling you that you need to go back and do what you know He called you to do. Amen. Y'all agree and receive that? Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. I want to invite our prayer ministers, if they would, to come down here. And you know, there may be some of you that the things that I spoke about, that you already had a dream in your heart, you just haven't been following it. There may be some of you that God has already revealed His will to you, but you thought you messed it up and stuff. You need to come down here and act on that and do something. And we're here to pray with you and to help you any way that we can. Also, I know that there's people that come to these conferences and you have all kinds of needs. You could have financial needs, emotional needs. You could have problems in your marriage. You could have healing things that you need. And we are here to pray with you and help you any way that we can. But this doesn't have to be limited to you just receiving God's will for your life. You can be healed tonight. You can have people pray with you about other things. And so we've got all of our prayer ministers here. I invite you to come forward and let someone pray with you. Amen. Father, we thank You and we just praise You, Father, for all of these people who stood. And we believe that You've heard and answered that prayer. And we believe that there are going to be miracles taking place. That, Father, we will step into our destiny. That we will fulfill what You called us to do. We thank You in advance. And Father, this is going to be a turning point in people's lives. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Father. There's somebody here that you've got a marriage situation where you feel like there's no way I can fulfill God's will because of your marital situation. God's saying that He can work it out. Don't you let that hinder you. You may not see how it can work. You may not understand it, but you just surrender to what you know God has told you to do, and God will make a way. God will give you wisdom and show it to you. James 1, if anybody lacks wisdom, all they have to do is ask of God and He'll give it to them. And so God is going to give you wisdom. You start removing all of these restraints and limitations you put on God and said, God, I can't do it because. You just let those things go. God is going to give you supernatural wisdom and show you how to accomplish this will. Thank You, Father. Amen. You know, anybody suffering from any of this COVID stuff or any physical problems right now, you know, if you've dealt with any of those kind of things, or if you're dealing with altitude, we have people that get struck, they struggle with the altitude. We're nearly at 9,000 feet. If you've got any physical problems right now that you need prayer for, I want you to stand and I'm going to pray for you and then I'm going to invite you to come forward. But if you have a physical need right now, I want you to stand and we're going to pray and we're going to believe God for a supernatural healing. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, Dwayne and Sue and I were, and Jamie were talking tonight, but it's amazing how many Christians have physical problems. And I'm not condemning anybody, and I understand that it happens, but it shouldn't be this way. Jesus has provided healing for us. And not very many people know how to appropriate healing. You ought to come to our Healing Is Here conference. But man, God wants you well. He died to produce it. There is no reason for you to remain sick. No reason. None whatsoever. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray with all of these people who are standing right now. And Father, these physical problems, we thank you that by the stripes of Jesus, you've already healed them. That Father, you want them healed more than I want them healed, more than they want to be healed. That you bore that sickness and that disease in your own body, and that Jesus, you died to produce it, and that you placed on the inside of them the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. So we just speak that sickness, disease, infirmity, any kind of problems, that they are defeated by the blood of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we speak against sickness and all of these things and command you to loose God's people. Father, I release your anointing to rise up on the inside of people right now and come become health to their body. I thank you that you turn sickness off on the inside of them, that they don't have any receptor for sickness. Thank you, Father, for your healing power flowing in our bodies and producing supernatural, divine health. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody's bowels are being healed right now. You've had some kind of problem in your colon and stuff. Here's the healing power of Jesus touching you right now in Jesus' name. I'm not going to say you're set free because that could be bad, but you are healed in the name of Jesus right now. Father, we thank you. We thank you for healing pain. We command pain to be gone. Father, we command movement back into the body. People that couldn't do things, people that couldn't lift their arms. Father, I just thank you right now as we begin to move and do things that we couldn't do before. We thank you that your healing power is flowing and touching people right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Somebody here's got a hiatal hernia. God's healing that esophagus right now in the name of Jesus. Acid reflux type of things. Heartburn healed in Jesus' name. Father, we release this anointing right now. Allergies. People that have all kinds of food allergies. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I speak healing over all these people here in the sound of my voice. I release and command allergies to be gone. Satan, you loose people and let them go. Man, curvature of the spine, being bent over, I command you to loose them and to let them go right now in the name of Jesus. Somebody in your voice, you got something that has affected the way you talk. You can't talk normal. Right here is the healing power of God. Put your hand on your throat and right now release this supernatural power of God. You know, as I call these things out, if you've got something that I'm calling out, come forward and just agree with somebody. The Bible says faith without works is dead. Don't sit there and just be passive. Say, that's me. I receive this healing. So step out and come and tell somebody and let them pray with you, and you will see the physical manifestation of this. Somebody who your joints, you have soreness and lack of movement in your joints. Here's the healing power of God. You need to start moving right now and doing what you couldn't do. Somebody that couldn't kneel down, you can kneel down and get back up. Things are working now in the name of Jesus. Foot pain is being healed right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody has broken a bone, and it's not just a normal healing that you need. Somehow or another, it's healed incorrectly, and it never was the same as it was before. Here's the healing power of God. I speak that these bones are being healed and being put back into place so that you will have freedom of movement. Father, we agree and we receive that in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. I believe that there's infertility that's being healed in male or female, but God is healing you right now in the name of Jesus. Praise God. The Bible says that there won't be any that are barren or any that cast their young have a miscarriage. We just speak that blessing over people right now and command these bodies to respond. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody who's already pregnant has had some kind of a bad report given to you about either that the child has got some kind of a handicap or some problem with delivery. But anyway, you're already pregnant and there's negative things spoken over you. We just cancel those things right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, I speak faith over that child. I speak that they are going to live and not die, that the mother is healthy, that it'll be a supernatural delivery with no problems in the name of Jesus. We cast fear out. We cancel these curses, these negative things, and we speak the blessing and believe that the blessing is stronger than the curse. Father, I thank you for your healing power flowing through their body right now. Thank you, Jesus. From head to toe, Father, we release your anointing and just thank you right now. Praise the Lord. We need more prayer ministers. If we could get some of you who are on staff with us or students or board members or something, we would welcome you to come and pray with people. Praise God. Father, we just thank you. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Praise the Lord. Boy, there's financial miracles happening in here too. You know, when I was speaking tonight and I said that there are some people that have a gift of giving, that is a spiritual gift, I just felt in my heart that that was a word of knowledge for some people and that you've never seen that. You have an ability to just make money. Whatever you set your hand unto works. And you just thought that you were just gifted. Well, you are gifted, but it is a supernatural, spiritual gift. And some of you, this is God's will for you. And it doesn't have to be that you're prosperous right now. You might not be seeing it work right now, but God's gifting is upon you, and God wants you to start operating in that gift of giving. He wants to bless you. How many of you in here believe that you have a gift of giving? That's one of your spiritual gifts. Man, that is a lot of hands. Keep your hand up in the air because we got people standing, but I want to pray for those of you that have your hand in the air right now. Father, this is a lot of people. We just speak the blessing of God over them. That, Father, you make all grace abound towards them so that they always, having all sufficiency in all things, abound to every good work. I thank you that there is just supernatural prosperity coming unto every one of them, Father. Thank you for giving them creative ideas. Thank you, Jesus. Man, some of you have been struggling with all of the restrictions that have been placed on us, but God has given you supernatural ideas of how to adjust, how to deal with this, how to retool the things that you're doing, and it's going to turn out that it is going to increase you. You're going to be better off than you ever were before. Father, I just speak this blessing over them in Jesus' name. We call people from the north, the south, the east, and the west to buy their products, to take advantage of what they're doing. Those that are working for someone else, Father, I thank you that there are advances coming, promotions, bonuses. Thank you that finances are coming to them from every angle. We just agree and we receive this and speak this financial blessing over them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Man, I believe that's going to make a difference in people's life. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Man, there's a lot of good things happening here. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we receive. Thank you for just touching people. There's some of you that came here depressed. I don't know the reason. but I know it's not God. The Bible says He'll keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon Him because he trusts in Him. That the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. You came here discouraged, despondent over different things. Right now, there is an anointing of God flowing that if you'll receive it, you could just reach out, and it's like God is lifting that oppression off of you. Right now, we command this discouragement. There's somebody in here that was suicidal. You've literally been considering just giving up. Man, that is demonic. That is not God. You know it's not God. You've been fighting against it. Right now, there's a deliverance coming unto you. God is setting people free right now of this depression and oppression. With some people, it's because your focus is off of God and you're looking at negative things that cause you to be depressed. But there's some of you that you have demonic stuff operating in you. You were raised this way. And it has been with you for a very long time. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I just break this oppression over you in the name of Jesus. You know, again, I want to ask, if that's you, I want you to identify yourself because you need to get set free. This is serious. If you're one of those that's been fighting depression and even suicidal thoughts, I want you to raise your hand. I know you may not like identifying yourself, but I want you to do it so I can pray with you. Here's one. Anybody else? Here's another one back here. Here's one over here. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray over these people and we rebuke this oppression, this depression, suicide. Satan, you liar, get off of them. Loose them right now in the name of Jesus. We break this over them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Well, right there is a freedom coming over you. Now, don't go back and embrace this. God is setting you free. You need to right now say, that's it. I'm not having this anymore. Change the way you think. Change the way you're talking. You need to speak out loud and say, I'm free. I'm over this. It's broken over me. I will not go back. Man, use your words. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. Start speaking life and stop that stuff. Father, we agree with them. And we believe that this is broken right now in the name of Jesus. Somebody is depressed and discouraged over your children. And I'm not saying that everything with your children is good, but you've got to cast your care about this over on the Lord. You got to give them to the Lord. You can't be the one to take responsibility for this. Do what God tells you, and if He leads you to do something, do it. But you give them to the Lord. God loves them more than you love them. Quit begging the Lord. Quit badgering the Lord and start praising God that great is the peace of our children. Isaiah chapter 54. They're all taught of the Lord, and great is the peace of our children. Father, right now we cast care about these children over on you, and we know that you love them more than we love them, and we believe that you are touching them and changing their life. Thank you for sending laborers across their path that are going to speak to them. Father, wherever they are, if they're out partying tonight, I thank you that you're going to send Spirit-filled believers across their path. Thank you for bringing back to their remembrance things that you've spoken to them. John 14, 26. And Father, we believe that that word is going to heal them and deliver them from all of their destructions. Thank you, Jesus. We give these children to you and don't take them back. We cast our care over on you and leave it there in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Man, that's awesome. Father, we agree and we receive. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we just thank you for being with us, and we believe that you're touching all of these people. Thank you for changing lives. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for the healings that have already taken place. Thank you for the deliverance. We agree and we receive it. We thank you for it in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Well, it looks like we just have a few more people to pray with. Praise God. We got a lot of ministers up here, and we'll be here until we get through praying for everybody. You know, if you're watching this by live stream, we've got people on our phones right now, 719-635-1111, and we're open 24 hours a day on weekdays, and on the weekends, we're open 11 hours from 7:30 in the morning until 6:30. And so you can call that number, 719-635-1111, and there's somebody that can pray with you. And you may be one of those that had something spoken that applied to you. Man, God can touch you wherever you are in the world. Call that number and have somebody agree with you. But don't just pass it off. Act on it. Do something. Call and say, that's me. I believe that I receive right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. When are we starting in the morning? I'll let Mark come up here and give you all of the instruction. Thank you for being with us. It's going to be awesome.
Thank you, Andrew. That was an awesome message. So, guys, thank you very much. I just want to let you guys know, please don't leave anything in the auditorium because they will actually take it away and put it in the lost and found. If you're leaving, when you're leaving the premises and everything like that, please use both lanes that is going out onto the highway and everything like that because it just makes the flow of traffic quicker. And tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, be back here again. And please use the resource tables. The resource tables and the cafe is still open, so please use that, guys. And thank you very much. Have a good evening.